What does it mean that the church is the mystical body of Christ? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. You can check us out more online at stjoesociety.org. This is episode 31 of the St. Joseph Bootcamp. And this week, we're going to unpack the Holy Spirit's role in the church. And that's going to help us shed light on what it means for the church to be the mystical body of Christ. But before we launch in, I want to remind you guys to, if you're watching this on YouTube, to hit that subscribe button. As I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we intend to keep this thing going in June. We are certainly going to graduate from the boot camp in May, but we're graduating unto something, unto this spiritual combat, which is the spiritual life. And we're excited to keep this thing rolling. So make sure you guys subscribe to that. Your priest will be talking to you about it over the next couple of months. All right. Business stuff aside, let's jump into the material. All right. Last week, we talked about Christ's relationship to the church. Okay. We talked about some basic ways he's redeemer and sustainer and founder and those sort of things. But we spent a lot of our time looking on the fact that the story of Adam and Eve in the garden prefigures or foreshadows the birth of the church on the cross. So we talked about how Adam was pierced in his side by God and Eve, his wife, came from his side. And then Jesus is hanging on the cross asleep in death. And his side is pierced and blood and water pour out. And this is the birth of his wife, the church. And one of the amazing things about this is that it shows us God was planning our salvation even before Adam and Eve fell into sin. And that's a thought that's always been encouraging to me. Because when I think about my life, God knows the sins that are coming for me down the stretch. He knows the things I'm going to be up against. And the fact that he has, you know, anticipated these things and provided all the means I need to overcome sin is always just a really encouraging thought for me. So that was last week. This week, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's relationship to the church, and that's going to help us shed light on what it means for the church to be the mystical body of Christ. Now, that church mysticism, obviously, it's a very strange sounding word. When you hear a word mystical, you might think of things like, I don't know, like weird crystals or people, you know, sitting in the lotus position, you know, with their fingers going humana humana, you know, it's kind of bizarre odd behavior. When we talk about mysticism in the Christian circles, mystical comes from the word, refers to kind of like mystery. Okay. A mystery in the faith is something that can't be seen with the eyeballs. It can't be known by reason alone, but has to be revealed to us. Okay. So when we're talking about mysticism here, okay, we're going to talk about things like prayer and stuff like that. But what mysticism strikes at is that God reveals certain truths to us that we can't know by reason alone. And as he reveals these to us by faith, we can see them. The mind can come to understand them. By hope, we can anticipate them for the future. And then it grows charity and love of God as we learn these things in our hearts as well. And so when I talk about the church being the mystical body of Christ, what we mean by that is what the church is cannot be known by reason alone. So if you walk into your parish and you look around, you'll see statues and the crucifix and the people sitting there. Those things are certainly real. Certainly not denying that. But if that's all you knew about what the church was, that it's a building and it's got statues and art and people and things like that, you would miss the true reality. Because what the church really is the body of Christ. This body that is animated or made alive by the Holy Spirit, which lives within it. Okay. A person walking around in a state of grace has divinity living inside of them. That's not something can be known by looking at it on the outside. And that's what I mean by mysticism, is that this life of God is animating the church through the Holy Spirit. The church is Christ's body in the world in a way far more profound than we can ever discover by our own reason. And so that's what we're getting at with mystical. Now, once we have those truths in place in our faith, of course, that's going to change how we pray, how we relate to the church and things like that. And really, guys, in this podcast, when I think about like, what are we trying to do here? What we're trying to do is shed light on these marvelous truths of faith, these like mind-blowing truths, and then talking about how that should change our habits, change our dispositions, change the way that we live our lives so that we can be configured to Christ and be more like him. So that's kind of what we're after here. And in the St. Joseph Society, we use the rule of life to do that, ordering our days in and inside and out so that we can be conformed to Christ and our will can be uniform with his. So All right. That being said, what are we going to unpack in today's podcast? We're going to unpack this simple statement by Pope Leo XIII. He says this: let one proposition suffice. Christ is the head of the church. The Holy Spirit is her soul. Let one proposition suffice. Christ is the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit is our soul. All right. First thing I'm going to camp out on a little bit here is that the Holy Spirit is the heart of the church and it's the soul of the church. Okay. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas, in his book De Veritate, he says this: the heart is the hidden organ, the head is visible. The heart, therefore, can signify the divinity of Christ or the Holy Spirit. The head, the visible nature of Christ, vivified by the invisible divinity. Okay. What Thomas is saying here is that Jesus, of course, being incarnate, is the visible head of the church. Okay. He's the visible head. He's something you can literally actually see. Just like, you know, my head right now, you guys can see on the camera if you're watching this on YouTube. You can see that. The heart, which is also real, it's as real as the head is a hidden faculty. It's a hidden organ. Okay. Christ is the head of the church because he's the visible head. Someday all of us are going to stand before him at the particular judgment. We're going to actually see the head of the church in person. If you lived 2,000 years ago, you'd actually see him. Okay. That's not true for how the Holy Spirit's related to the church. The Holy Spirit's this very real hidden faculty that vivifies or makes alive the body. Okay. The Holy Spirit's the heart of the church because it's real and it's on the inside and it's the life of the church in it. So Aquinas wants to make this distinction between Jesus's role as the head and the Holy Spirit's role as the heart to help us understand how these fit together. And this is that mysticism I'm talking about, this hidden reality. Okay. So you can talk about the Holy Spirit being the heart of a church. You can also talk about the Holy Spirit being the soul of the church. Okay. Pope Pius XII said this: the divine principle of life is nothing else than the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who's called in a special way the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of the Son. Okay. Guys, our spiritual life, okay, what the spiritual life is the life of God in us. The Holy Spirit is that principle which brings about life. Guys, the body of Christ in the church is alive. It's a living thing. And the aliveness of it is a divine life, not a human one. Okay, when you walk into a church, again, let's go back to that mystical body. What you see with your eyeballs is people and pews and things like that. The mystical body of Christ is alive because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within it and animates it. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is the soul of the church, the thing that gives it its life. Okay. Listen to the next thing that Pope Pius XII says: the Holy Spirit is personally present and divinely active in all the members. Okay. So not only is the Holy Spirit filling the church in general, universal, it also fills each member, which we can think of as kind of like cells in the body of Christ. Okay. So each one of us are cells in the body. The Holy Spirit is personally in every single one of us, making us alive. Check this out. He says to the members, he is present and assists them in proportion to their various duties and offices, whether these be those of the hierarchy or the most humble layman. Okay. This is absolutely incredible. The Holy Spirit enlivens each one of us, okay? The spiritual life we discuss in this podcast a lot, it's nothing more than the divine life living inside of us, okay? When this principle of life comes in, it animates us and infuses us to do supernatural acts. Okay, we're going to talk about this in the future in the podcast we get into, especially next year. I'm going to talk about this a lot more. But what I'm going to talk about is that fact that when you live the spiritual life, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, when you do what just look like natural activities on the outside, okay, they become meritorious to eternal life. They become actions that God himself can accept for our salvation. Why? Because guys, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, even the most humble tasks we do, okay, the littlest things you do, okay, putting food on the table, mowing the grass, okay, everything starts to become salvific for us. Okay. And this is the exciting thing about the Christian life. A lot of people think the Christian life is just, you know, the grace you say before your meal or your morning devotion or going to mass on Sunday. And those are all really obviously wonderful and great things that we emphasize here at the St. Joe Society a lot. But I want you guys to understand is that when the Holy Spirit animates you, every single action in some way becomes salvific. Not equally. Obviously, taking the Eucharist is a higher act than, you know, mowing the grass or things like that. However, when our lives are animated by the Holy Spirit, every moment, okay, God willing, we're becoming closer to Him. And that's what Pope Pius XII is talking about here, is that whether we're a member of the hierarchy, like the Pope or a bishop doing great works for God, or you're the most humble layman, okay, a single man trying to represent Christ in his workplace, a father trying to lead his family and children to love our Lord more, even the most humble tasks are animated, okay, enlivened by the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely amazing, okay? Now, we see the fact that the Holy Spirit's the principle of life. It animates us. We see the fact that our actions become supernaturalized through the Holy Spirit, which is incredible. What I want to circle to, and this is where we'll close for today, is how does this Holy Spirit relate to the body of Christ? Okay. How does it relate to the body of Christ? St. Augustine has this great quote that I'll read to you. Here's what he says. Only the body of Christ lives from the Spirit of Christ. Do you wish then to live by the Spirit of Christ? Then be in the body of Christ, which is the church. Okay. Guys, this touches on the fact that the spiritual life is not a loner sport. It's not just a me and Jesus and our personal time together. Guys, we need to be enlivened in the church. The whole task of St. Joe Society, guys, is to equip you to grow in holiness, to unite your will to God's will, so that you can be a force for good in your community, in your family, and in your parish. Guys, we have to stay plugged into the church. We have to stay plugged into our local parish. Why? Because the soul that's animating us, this principle of life in our soul, it belongs in the body. Obviously, through mortal sin, we are cut off from the body. So we want to fix that in confession if that happens. But we also, just in our day-to-day tasks, guys, need to be plugged in. The church is that sacrament of salvation. The church is there to lead us into the heart of our Lord and give us the sacraments and the graces we need to become holy and attain eternal life. And this will lead naturally to kind of the walk away today. In the podcast this month, I've talked about three ways we receive Christ's blessings. First week, we talked about the fact that we have to have faith and believe in Him. Last week, we talked about the fact that we need to practice obedience. And I use that image of God wanting to teach Adam good and evil to lead him in there. We need to be obedient, guys, because when Christ commands us to do things, He commands us to do that because He knows what's good for us and He wants what's best for us. And so His commandments aren't some master-slave relationship. It's a loving Father guiding us to a good and holy life, a life that will make us happy and an ultimate happiness in heaven. The third point, guys, is we need to make use of the sacraments He gives us. Guys, we, this animating spirit, this Holy Spirit received at our baptism, we need to nourish this life through devotionals and sacramentals and things like that. But we also need to use the sacraments Christ gave us. So if we would ever fall into a state of mortal sin, we have to return to confession promptly. Guys, when we're committing those venial sins, get to confession to get those things out. Do that daily examination of conscience to admit to God these small faults each day so that He can start to remove them. Visit the Blessed Eucharist often in exposition. Go to Mass more often than just Sunday if you can, so that we get those Eucharistic graces inside of us to live holy lives. Guys, the sacraments are there to keep us plugged into the body, to keep that principle of life in our souls flourishing and growing so that we can love God. And so, guys, as you're trying to stick out the monthly challenge this week of intellectual and theological formation, maybe a good suggestion would be find a book on the sacraments, or maybe a short article online or a podcast. Listen to this one a couple times and really meditate on the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. So I think I'm going to leave us there. Guys, I want to encourage you, keep studying, keep believing, keep obeying, and keep visiting those sacraments as often as possible. So look forward to seeing you guys next week as we talk about the church, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Have a great week. God bless.